When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said. Done.
Get all the Masterforce outdoor power equipment you need to maintain your yard at Menards. Own the outdoors with Masterforce 80-volt power equipment, delivering all the power of gas without the maintenance. The entire 80-volt line is powered by brushless motors for ultimate performance and productivity. From lawnmowers to leaf blowers, string trimmers, and more. Find everything you need to create the lawn of your dreams with Masterforce power equipment at Menards.
Save big money at
Support for Analog Talk comes from FilmStock. Have you been scouring camera shops looking to find a certain film camera? Struggling to find a film stock of your favorite film? FilmStock checks the inventory of used film cameras and film stocks at trusted shops nationwide. When it finds a camera that matches what you're looking for, you get notified immediately. FilmStock even helps you find the best price on your favorite film stocks, like Porsche 400 or CineStill 800T. It's free to get started. Sign up for FilmStock today at filmstock.app. FilmStock.app. And for a limited time, they're offering Analog Talk listeners a 25% discount on FilmStock Plus. Use the code ANALOGTALK. Finally find that elusive film camera with FilmStock.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of Analog Talk, a film photography podcast. I'm your host, Chris.
I'm Tim.
And today on the show, we have Mr. Eli Vix. How are you, Eli?
Hello, I am so good. Thank you for having me. It means a lot. This is so cool.
Absolutely. We're excited to chat. Before we get into all that stuff, do you mind giving our listeners a background on yourself and how you got into photography?
Yes. So my name is Eli Vix. I am from Brooklyn, New York. I live in Connecticut, so I'm kind of based out of New York and Connecticut. And I got into photography about 2 years ago in 2019. And before that, I was always into the visual arts. I would draw comic books in elementary school.
That's amazing. I read that on your website. Mm-hmm. That's so awesome.
I love just like art that involved people. So in my comic books, it would be like these illustrations of like superheroes, or it could be zombies, or just anything with people in it, drawing people, stories with people. I just like really enjoyed. And I didn't know I would be into photography, but I picked up my first camera in 2019 and I just fell in love with the medium. And I also was not that great of an artist, or I mean, drawer. Or like, I would draw. I wasn't that good at it, but I would do it. And then I found photography. Yeah, it felt right. It felt like I was actually good at something I loved. And so I just went from there. And I did portrait photography, of course, because that's just what I love the most. I love people. I love telling stories with people and just creating worlds with people, or creating characters, or just conveying different emotions through people.
Yeah, you can definitely tell that with your work. It's very like intentional, I feel like.
Thank you.
Oh, for sure. Yeah.
Now, when you say you got it, that seems like such a short time ago, even though time is crazy nowadays. Like, what year is it even really? Did you start on film right away, or did you pick up a digital, you know, move to film, or how did that go?
I started on a digital camera. I believe it was the T7i, and it was fun. I really, really enjoyed digital and just the process of everything. But when it came to editing, I wasn't the best. Because I would enjoy more of, when it comes to photography, I enjoy more of the, the taking the photo and the meaning and just the way it makes me feel. And I didn't really like the technical side of things.
Right.
And so I struggled with that. I was like looking up presets from other photographers, trying to twist them. I was following a lot of photographers and trying to make my edits look like something. And it was hard for me. Like, it would also fluctuate so much. Like, an edit from one photo would be so different because I'm just like, I don't have that, you know, that guide. I just kind of like, let me mess around with the contrast. This looks nice. This doesn't.
Right.
And so I started off on digital for about a year. And then photographers like Linus came along, and I was like, wow, people are shooting film again? What's film? And so I was so nice. Interested. And then right off the bat, I learned how to develop, and I loved and appreciated the tangibility of film. Like, dude, just being yes. able to have like a binder with all my negatives in there. Like, one of my favorite photos is just a tiny little 6x7 film negative in my room. And that's just like, it's like a card, like a Pokemon card or something. And
yeah.
I find that kind of cool. And like, yeah, so I switched to film because of that. And, you know, I still edit film, but just, you know, you kind of start off with something. So I don't right. feel yeah. as pressured. And most of my photos go down the same route of editing. And so, yeah.
Man, you nailed it with that whole digital editing thing because I think that's why I think I talk about this in every episode. I'm sorry, guys, but like my digital photography skills are so poor because of I over edit. I make things ugly and nasty with it and stuff. And film just gives you such a great baseline of a starting point. You know what I mean? Yeah, we touch up our photos and yeah, we add a little contrast. We darken this. We put a vignette sometimes if we have to. You know, it's you still put some, you know, artistic touches to things, but man, you just made so much sense. What I've been trying to say for like 5 years on this show about digital photography for me, you nailed it in that like second right there.
Thank you.
Plus, I think you could spend like hours on a digital file and then like walk you know, I got it how I want it and walk away and come back and be like, no, I still hate that. It still isn't right. You know, I still don't know what I'm missing, you know, but with film, it's like, depending on what what stock or whatever you it's all sort of in the same like ballpark of tones and stuff. So it's just much easier to nail your like stylistic choice, you know?
Yeah,
definitely.
How did you on your website, it says I'm a medium format photographer. How did you come to just start? Did you start right with 120 or were you dabbled into 35 or?
I started with 35 and I loved it. I guess I'm always not trying to rush things, but I'm always trying to like, okay, what's next? And so,
yeah,
I really love 35, but then it was like, since film was my main thing, I was like, this quality is great, but it's not something sharp or like, it's not as crazy as medium format. Like, I don't think I could do client work on this. You know, people do it, but I was like, you know what? I need something bigger. And then, you know, I saw a lot of photographers shooting medium format and I was like, this looks really cool. Like higher quality photos. Cause again, I'm not that technical. I don't think in like megapixels or whatever. I just think, oh, that's higher quality.
Yeah. Right.
And I was like, oh, higher quality. Okay, let me try this. And so I went to medium format and I fell in love.
So what was your first medium format body?
Pentax 67.
Yeah.
Wow.
I fell in love with that camera.
Yeah.
I also appreciated how it's like a big, it was like a big regular, it was like a, what's the word? It reminded me, just the build of it, of a digital camera. It was like your traditional camera setup.
Right.
Because I know film has a lot of like funky, weird cameras that look different. And I appreciated how the Pentax was just like, you know, it was familiar.
Yeah. And what I love about your work too is like, you can tell it's all medium format, obviously. But
definitely.
But when you look at it, you're like, I can like walk into these photos and like hang out with these people because it's just so much higher of a quality. It's like when you see it all together like that, well, not like, you know, mine's mixed with medium format and 35, so it kind of has that vibe. But when it's all like big, you're like, okay.
Yeah.
I love that.
It just bums me out because I always shoot 35 because it's so convenient. You know what I mean? To have your side gun with you all the time. Mm-hmm. And when I see photo projects I've done with medium format, I'm like, why is this not with me all the time? Like, come on.
Do you think you'll ever go larger?
I was actually looking into large format. My friend actually develops a 4x5 and that kind of pushed me to start thinking about switching to it. It's just like, I don't know. It's back
Do
then.
It.
Yeah.
Yeah, right? Literally. I just like, I don't know. It looks like, I don't know how portable I know there's this photographer that actually hikes with large format and he takes these mountain photos on large format. I kind of like that. If it's something portable that I can, you know, I don't think I'm more of like a stay in the studio, set it up, one shot. I like to like be on the move with it and I don't mind carrying it if it's a lot. So I'm looking into that, honestly. That would be really dope.
Yeah, large format's like its own separate thing. I feel like you have to have a little bit more patience, you know?
Yeah.
Especially I'm used to shooting on the fly. So it's like you really got to slow down and be like intentional, which I want to get back to. But because I've dabbled a little bit in large format, but I haven't really sunk my teeth in yet.
Yeah.
But
I would just love to see your portraiture work with that, because it's tough. Like large format, like for landscapes and stuff, large format is great. There's not much, you know, quickness to it. You're more so like embracing the moment and waiting for the light to hit right.
Right.
With a portrait, you're working with somebody, you know what I mean? And yeah. they have to stay still.
Yeah.
Or you have to completely refocus, reframe, yeah. mm-hmm. do all that stuff. So like I've only ever shot two people with my large format camera.
Really?
Yeah. And I've had it for years and I've Whoa. Only made two portraits with it. And just for that fact, because I'm not a portrait photographer, like that stuff, any portraits I've taken just have been chance, you know what I mean? Or not chance, but hey, let me take your picture someday. It wasn't mm-hmm. like, hey, we're hiring you to do this, so bring your camera type thing. Mm. And it's really hard to explain to somebody, okay, so I'm gonna spend 20 minutes setting up this shot, and then I'm gonna have to spend another 10 minutes putting the film in it and getting the shutter cocked, and you can't, nope, oh, you moved. Okay, we got to reset. Sorry.
I'm like, you know, sweating yeah. already. Yeah. It's like, ah.
Literally. I mean, not that it's that tough. You know, no. there's obviously like speed graphics and stuff like that yeah. that have a rangefinder system that are a lot quicker. But if you're doing like a field camera, it's, and I'm probably making it seem way more dramatic than it really is. But
I know everybody who shoots large format portraits yeah. is like, Timothy,
yeah, they're
not
like,
that
shut
bad.
Up. It's not that bad.
So you're from Connecticut as well. So am I.
Yeah, really.
East Coast.
Yeah. So I was just, I don't know if this was the same time. I was just at Emily Swift's studio uh-huh. back in October. And I think you were there right after me.
Really?
Did you, because you did those gorgeous portraits of her.
Was that around the same time? Dang, time flies.
It does. Well, it was like the end of October.
I swear, once things happen, they're just like, they're
crazy.
Gone. Like, I can't tell if it was this year or last year.
So you say you're based in New York and Connecticut. Where do you do most of your work?
New York for sure. Yeah. I back when I started photography, I would say I was based out of both, but I felt like mm-hmm. I was spreading myself not too thin, but just there's not much business, I guess, in mm-hmm. Connecticut. So,
unless,
you know.
Yeah, you can do weddings.
Yeah. And there probably is business out here. I don't know. I'm just so used to New York. And like, I guess like, I don't know. Even though I grew up there, it's still so much that I haven't seen out there yet. And it just feels yeah. more, it inspires me more for sure.
I'm so jealous of anybody that's in New York. Like I'm like a diehard Casey Neistat fan. And recently I've just been rewatching his old vlogs, like going from one all the way down to whatever video. I think mm-hmm. he did like 800 videos or something crazy. And just seeing the love and passion he has for that city. You said you're in Brooklyn. Is that where you're at?
So mostly since I live in Connecticut, I'm from Brooklyn, but gotcha. So I shoot in either or. I mostly shoot in Brooklyn though.
So what do you do down there? Like what's your gig when you're doing just like portrait stuff? Or you
I try to sometimes expand, but there's just certain things with photography that I just don't feel yet, at least like you know, it's weird, like, because I know other photographers do other things outside of portraiture so beautifully, like taking your camera with you for regular stuff and shooting your friends.
Yeah.
And they make it look so nice. And for me, on the other hand, I feel like I just enjoy post portraiture and just like meeting with someone, going somewhere, shooting them. And, you know, sometimes I dabble in landscapes or like candid stuff, but for the most part, it's just mostly post portraits, meet with someone, find a location, etc.
I would kill for that.
The dream.
I would kill for that. Like,
I know.
We talk about it all the time. I think I'm going to try to do that as like my, the New Year's resolution. Not that those are even good or healthy to do, but I'm going to try to make a point to shoot people again. Like, I really, really miss it. And there's nothing like it. You know what I mean? Like, working with somebody, mm-hmm. spending an afternoon with them, yeah. and taking photos, even if it's for nothing.
Mm-hmm.
I did want to applaud you on the lighting. Your usage of lighting in your photography is just brilliant.
Thank you.
Just, you know, Sty, we always do our little homework before we hop on here and talk with you guys. And I was looking at your Instagram again today, and I was like, man.
Mm-hmm.
Ugh. I just love it. I wanted to applaud you. And I don't want to clap into the microphone or I would right now.
I appreciate it so much.
Yeah, yeah.
So were you said you develop all of your own work. Did anybody teach you to do that, or were you like self-taught?
I learned from Linus. From his
Linus,
YouTube
video. Shout out. Yeah. Friend of the show.
I followed a lot of his videos. And yeah, I learned like how to develop slide film from him, scan film, the regular color negative film. And,
there's something
yeah.
about that, though. Like taking it from A to Z with shooting it, developing it. And like you said, too, I'm more hyped on pressing the button. You know what I mean? Like getting the shot rather than even looking at the shot. And when you develop your own film too, there's just such this like, I don't know, it's like you're running a marathon and you're crossing the finish line of like a triathlon or something where you're like I did this, it's an accomplishment.
Yeah.
And, you know, snipping your negatives, spending the 4 hours scanning it in if you have a flatbed scanner and just like the pride that comes with that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Exactly. Man.
I need to develop some film right now.
It's so fun. It's crazy being able to like shoot a roll and then that day, sometimes I'm just so impatient. I am not. Uh-huh. Yeah, I am like not patient at all when it comes to film. Like I don't think I've had like roles like that I just haven't developed and forgot about. Like once I shoot it, I want to see what's on there.
Yeah.
And so there's times where I would like shoot a roll around like 11 in the morning and then I would send them the photos by like 7 and they're like, wait, what?
Yes.
Don't you shoot? They're like, don't you shoot film? Like, like this digital photographer like took like months and like you just sent it back to me and you shoot film. I'm like, yeah, it's just, I don't know. It's fun.
That's great.
I love that. I love that.
Yeah.
I'm kind of the same way, except I'll go to a lab. Like Timothy will sit on a bunch of rolls, which is fine. And then, you know, do a whole batch at one time. But like as soon as I'm done, I'm like, okay, get in the car, drive to my lab, like, or send it off. You know, I'm kind of the same way. I never, you know, gotten the develop my own stuff bug enough to where, like, but if I did, I would be like you.
Yeah,
I think it is kind of an acquired taste, though, like the developing process. Like you can either love it or leave it kind of thing.
Right.
Like
yeah, you, for sure.
There's something for me, and I'm sure you get it too, since you do it all the time. There's like a therapeutic portion of that, of like throwing on a podcast or watching a Linus YouTube video or something while you're developing film and just like... It's a groove. It's a part of the dance, you know, and it's a lot of fun to just, and I was just like you up until about 2 or 3 years ago. I would shoot, develop, boom, bam, boom, boom, scan, done in a day. And then I started to kind of get a little more laxed on it. I was like, I wonder, because you always hear people say like, oh man, I don't even remember what's on that roll. And I was like, I don't know what that's like. You know, you talk to people all the time of like, yeah, I took these photos back from so-and-so and I didn't even know. And it was so great to see them. It brought the memory right back. So I was like, well, I'm going to start banking up. I'll save like 10 or something rolls. And now that's how I do it. Unless there's something that like I know I need or it's like a photo for somebody that I've taken or something.
Yeah.
But there, you should do that. Every like 3 rolls, you should just throw one in a drawer and then like develop it a couple months later because you'll be like, oh, damn, I remember that.
It's that is like, going to be the hardest thing ever. I should try.
I know.
I've always loved the idea of that. I've always loved like sitting on film and just like coming back to it, and then you know when I develop it normally the emotions or whatever or however I felt shooting it are still there, but it would be nice to like you know have that go away and then have it come back. I guess the only thing that's kind of stopped me from doing it is like I don't know, like I feel like I since it's portraits and I'm always learning, like I spend most of my time, a lot of my time watching YouTube videos, oh like how to take better portraits, how to do this. I feel like looking back at my old work, I haven't gotten to a point where I'm still okay with my old work. Like I don't know, like I'll shoot something and then like a month later I'm like, dang, I've changed so much because I'm always like trying to take better portraits and then I don't even like those anymore. And I'm like, dang, like if I'm not that sharing on social media is the end of your art, but like I'm like, well, what am I going to do with this now that I'm like so much better at portrait photography? So I'm like, yeah, but you know, I definitely do want to have roles where I just kind of like let them sit.
I think you'll get there. You'll get there in a couple years. You keep doing this, you'll get to that point where you're just like, oh, I got to develop these roles, man. Oh, God, okay, all right.
Not if he has not for clients. You know, clients.
Well, no, 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 no.
Be like, I just wanted to sit on your roles.
Yeah,
so, like,
sorry, yeah. I needed to sit on this so I could feel like you know all the magic. They'd be like, what are you talking about?
Remember this from 2019? Like, here you go.
Yeah, that's one thing that I just forgot. You are doing client work. I'm doing like hanging out, walking around town work. So it's a little easier for me to kind of just relax on that. But I think this is good. I think this is good to have you on this episode, because it's like you have that 2 years in hunger and drive excitement for this. And I feel like, because I'm going down memory lane just listening to you talk, because like our stories are so similar from like the beginning of shooting film.
Yeah,
I'm just like, oh my god, I remember that. I remember like people being like, you took these 3 hours ago, like how are you? I thought it was film. And I'm just like, dude, I'm just so excited. Yeah. Like I can't
sometimes. Sometimes I'm like, Eli, the BTS is still on your story. It hasn't been 20, like the iPhone photos you took during the shoot are still on your story and you're posting the photos.
Well, I mean, that's good work ethic. At least you know, all your clients are super happy.
Yeah.
Five stars. How do you get your clients? Do you have like a network in New York that you can draw from, or is it word of mouth?
I would say a lot of my clients come from like things where I don't really expect them to come from, like TikTok. I don't really upload on TikTok. And I'll upload maybe like one video a month or something. Like, you know, I try to keep up with every social media, or like as much as I can. And I would actually get a few from there. Mostly it's friends of friends. When I shoot models and they post it, then they would, whatchamacallit, the friends of the models would contact me and book a shoot. So even though I'm shooting for free in the moment, it's kind of nice because sometimes I get clients from it.
I think that's like a everybody has to do type thing, you know? I mean, I remember shooting all kinds of stuff for free, but there is nothing better than that, because then you get to use that and you get to be kind of crazy with it too. You can kind of experiment and do things that again, another topic that I talk about a million times, like when paid work is involved, there is this like stress and anxiety of like having to nail it.
Yeah.
Even though you know you're going to kill it. Like that's just what we do as photographers. We know what we're doing. We just kind of go,
Yeah, it's so weird how like, I'm like, it's weird because like I'm confident and like, I mean, I guess I am, but like no matter how confident I am, like, or like normally or whatever, client, model, I'm always so nervous for every shoot. I'm like, it's like I forget that I took great photos before, but I don't know.
Yeah, because you guess you also don't know how people are going to react. One of the things about having a client when you're shooting digital is you can get that in the moment feedback. Ooh. Especially when I was like shooting bands and stuff, or even like engagement photo, whatever it is, I could be like, how are you feeling? And then they'll, you know, always look at the back of the camera and be like, oh, this looks great. This is, oh, we're pumped. And it's like, whew, now I know they're happy. Then I can relax and like do whatever, you know, maybe think outside of the box. But when it's film, you just have to, you know, they have to trust you and you have to trust them. And, you know, it's like a whole different thing.
Yeah.
But that you know, when you shoot stuff for free, it's like you're building your body of work and people will hire you because they want that specific style.
Yeah.
That's like the most important thing about, you know, if you're a film photographer, people know what they're getting when they're hiring you because they look at your work and they can see it. So usually they want that.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
It's you know, the confidence thing is like once you nail your style and they're coming to you for that, it's like you can't be nervous about that part of it, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I'm always excited when I get a booking and it's like they you know, I mean, I don't have a problem with when they want me to or when they have their own ideas.
Right.
But I kind of love when they're just like, do what you do. Yeah, I love what you do. I love those clients so much.
Yeah. Yeah.
Man, so what happens in an environment like that when you go to a shoot? This is just my curiosity right here. When you go to a shoot and they have the whole thing planned out, what happens in that time? Do you get to still put your swing on it, or how does that work?
For the most part, I always try to like add a little bit touch of like what I do or what I love about portrait photography. Like, but I mean, it takes a lot of stress off when they do at the same time when they have their ideas or whatever.
Yeah, I can see that.
Most of the time so far, at least, it's aligned in some ways with what I like to do. Like it's not completely far off from what I like to do. So it hasn't been too bad, but I don't know.
For me, it's you know, get what they want first and make sure they're stoked on that. And then like, oh, do you mind if we try like something else, you know, if there's time and you get to.
You just nailed it. Like I didn't even think of that too, because it does take the stress off. I've assisted on shoots. I've never like had like a formal like shoot, but I've assisted on some stuff where it was like they've had a printed, what do they call it, like an itinerary itinerary or
yeah,
something?
Yeah.
I struggle with that word so much.
Yeah. Yeah. Terrible word.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But where they're just like checking boxes, and it's just like, I could totally see the stress being relieved, but at the end of the day, I feel like I would be so bummed that I didn't pull someone aside and just be like, okay, let's do three of these for that. Now that it just popped into my head, I did these photos. This woman, she had throat cancer, and I did these photos. She was writing a book, mm-hmm. and she wanted me to take the cover picture of her book. She was like, I love your work. And she drugged me around town and made me take shots that she wanted.
Ooh.
And the craziest thing, at the end of the day, I was so bummed out by it. I was just like, man, I thought she wanted what I do. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, hey, just let me take, I have three shots left on my RB67. Let me take these three shots. Guess what photos we ended up taking? Like the three I did with my RB.
Yeah.
She was in tears with the photo.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
She's like, you captured everything
that
I wanted to capture. And that just popped back into my mind.
That's
forgot all about that.
That's a tricky thing too. It's like when people don't trust you, and then it's like, okay, but like let me do my thing.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah. There's definitely been a lot of that where it's like,
yeah,
we're kind of like, we're not like being aggressive with it, but we're like passively trying to say like, let me do this. And they're like, wait, no, but I want to do this. And I'm just like, oh,
yeah.
Okay. But then at that point, I'm just like, okay.
And I can understand that from like people are, you know, weirded out about themselves and like what they're going to look like. So they want to kind of be in control.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it's just interesting. And I was on the shoot for MTV News, and I only had,
I remember this.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to talk bad, but there was people who were trying to tell me how to do my job who aren't photographers.
Yeah.
And they're like, well, the light's not good there. And I was like, but the light is perfect here. Like,
yeah.
And I was just like, I was like, okay, it's like, I got it.
Like, mm-hmm.
And we, you know, it's like being confident in a situation like that where you can, and I don't know, that probably wouldn't have happened 10 years ago. Maybe I'd probably been like, okay, I'll go where he wants to go, even though he's not even related to it at all. But I was proud of myself in that moment to be like, nope.
Yeah.
I actually know that's good light. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
So, but that just goes back to like, you know, practicing and learning and like getting your bearings about what you do and being able to be confident in what you do, period.
Yeah.
But I think it's funny that because I just had a wedding and engagement photos and all that stuff. So we hired people to do that. And I was just like, do whatever you want. I trust you. I
you
was like,
this.
People, you know, people were assuming I was going to be controlling, and I was like, nope. I do enough of that, telling other people what to do, tell me what to do. I trust you. I'm hiring you for a reason. Like, not even worried about it.
I bet your husband was like, man, she's going to be telling this girl what to do.
Yeah.
The
whole nope. Ask Krista and Raphael. They shot my wedding. I was like, whatever you want. I trust you guys.
Aww. Hey guys.
Yeah.
So where do you see your work going? Like what's
yes,
next year's
yes,
goal?
Yes, yes.
What are your goals for next year?
For the longest, I feel like starting out, I'm in that phase where my art is front and center and I'm not. So I'm kind of hiding behind my photos, and I'm not like talking on my Instagram stories or anything. And so I'm trying to get into YouTube, and
I watched the video and I noticed that you weren't saying anything.
I was expecting
you'd be like, hey guys, welcome to today's
video. I was like, you know what? I don't want to wait until I'm comfortable doing that. How about I do something, get a few subscribers, or like kind of get a vibe of editing and posting. And then next video, I'll maybe do a voiceover and be in as well. And so, yeah, I'm definitely trying to like put more of myself into my process and everything. So probably definitely YouTube and traveling more, because traveling is like my favorite part of like taking portraits or whatever.
Dude, yes.
To all of it.
Mm-hmm.
Where's the furthest you've been to do a portrait?
California.
I
actually just went for the first time. I got on my first plane this year. And first I went to Wyoming. I took portraits in Wyoming. And in a few months, like a month or two later, I went to California. And it was just amazing. Like, it was
the light out here is very different. that California sunset, man.
Yeah, every sunset, every sunrise was just so beautiful.
I recently, you know, when we went to the Padilla and stuff, that was my first like solo flight anywhere. And There's nothing like that. Like packing your camera gear up, getting on a plane, doing the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Landing.
For like, sure.
Oh, man. I wish, why we have to grow up? I wish I could just like be young and do whatever the hell I want forever. Like yeah. There's just nothing like that though. Like going and doing stuff like that. Like,
yeah, for sure.
You could still do it.
Yeah. Hopefully there'll be a Padilla like next year or something. Is there any word on that yet? Have we heard anything yet?
No, COVID still, unfortunately.
I'm so sick of it. Go away. Like, yeah. Be done.
Right.
My goodness.
What about like photography specific? Is there any like goals specific to photography that you have besides like traveling and doing the YouTube? Like, where do you see your work going?
Honestly, I haven't thought of that. I guess I'm still in the stage of like, I don't know if I'll ever get out of it for a while, but like even I'm still in the stage of like just trying to take better photos. And like, feel like I haven't gotten to a point where like I'm thinking, okay, I'm good at photography now. What's next? I'm kind of just like, okay, let's watch some videos, like how to take better portraits, how to do this, like, you know, sometimes things that I already know. Like I'll learn like, what does aperture really mean?
Yeah.
I spend my time doing that, and like, so I can like get better, I guess. And I'm still in that phase, so I'm kind of like, let's just keep focusing on taking better portraits and going from there.
Yeah, that's smart, because once you get, it's like riding a bike, you know what I mean? Like once you learn how to hold your balance and you learn how to, you know, handle going up and down things on your bicycle, like you don't even think about that stuff anymore. It's just kind of second nature. And I think when you do have that aha moment, it's going to be a very memorable experience for you, because I'm sure, Chris, you remember when you hit your moment of like, this all makes sense type thing, and then comes your style, and you know, it's just, I mean, not that you don't already have a style. Yeah. I feel like, you know, I look at your photos and I'm like, yeah, that's a, you know, that's an Eli photo. Yeah. For sure. That's a good plan for the future.
Do you prefer on location over studio?
I would say when I was shooting digital, I preferred studio. But now that I'm into film, I prefer on location. But I recently picked up an RZ67. And so I just love the way that is in the studio. And I kind of want to get into it more. I don't know if I'll get into like the strobes and flashes and everything, at least maybe, but just studio. If I love natural light, so if I'm gonna do studio, I would still prefer to use natural light, like window light and stuff.
It's funny because I always have been like, 6.7 is not my format. All the cameras are too big or too heavy. Da, da, da. But when I look at your work, I'm like, man, it's making me want a 6.7 now. I just got my Hasselblad. I don't want like an RZ or an RB or a Pentax. I can't.
They're massive.
Yeah. But they are. That's like your format, right? That's your.
Mm-hmm, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I love square format, and when I went to Emily's studio, I would always like mess around with her Hasselblad, and I fell in love with it. Like, I love square format, but I don't know. I guess it's like, it's not even that I have a preference for 6x7. It's kind of just what I happen to shoot and can afford. But for the time being, I guess, like, I really love 6x7. It's really nice.
Yeah, I think it also lends itself really well to your work.
Yeah, portraits.
Yeah.
Perfect for that. Yeah.
Yeah, and like I said, seeing it all together like that, like seeing all like big negatives all together with like this, like, you know, amazing work, it's like, great, now I need a 6.7.
You could always get them a Mia 7.
Oh yeah, for what, how much are they?
A lot.
Probably like 3,000 or 4,000.
That's like, wow. Yeah, I definitely really, on Twitter I see a lot of photographers posting with them a Mia 7, and I'm like, I fell in love. The quality is just insane.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely need to get one eventually. I would.
Oh yeah, they're amazing. I think the only thing with them though is the they're a rangefinder, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the close focusing distance, I think you, for portraits, I don't think they're the absolute greatest. I'm sure I'll get slandered in the comments for saying that, but I think they're good, like, carry, landscapey,
Yeah, I didn't think about that, honestly, because I used a Mamiya 6, and I'm just not a fan of rangefinders. I cannot focus on those. Like, I can. It would just take a long time.
It takes practice. I think if it's, you know, you add it into, like, a heavy rotation or make it your purpose to learn a rangefinder, like, you'll get it, and then you'll realize, like, how quick it is in the long run. Like, now, I feel that way when I pick up like an SLR. I'm looking through it and I'm just like, is it in focus? Where's my little square patch that I see all with, you know? Like,
yeah.
It's so funny. I've just been shooting rangefinders for so long now.
Yeah, rangefinders, for portraits, it can slow you down for sure, though. Unless yours like zone focus. I mean, I'm kind of the same way. I'm like, I don't know if this is in focus because...
Yeah.
But with, you know, an SLR, especially if it's like a, I don't know, like a Canon Elon that I have, it's like, there's like, you know, that confirmation that it's in focus.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
I just looked. I wanted to look quick while we were talking. The Mamiya 7s, they're going for around 4,000.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't want one after all.
Yeah, yeah. No, not a big deal. No big deal.
Man, the prices of cameras just continue to go up and up and up and up and up.
I know. Eli, you got in on the wrong time.
Yeah. Luckily, though, I am very much a minimalistic. Is that the word? A minimalist. When it comes to like anything, like just life in general. Like, I love studying minimalism. I do. I recently got the RZ, but before that, I've only used Pentax. I didn't have a 35. I don't have a 35. That one 105 2.4 lens.
Yeah,
that's it.
Wow.
And if you come into my room, that's the only thing I have photography related, aside from a few reflectors. So I go out with that. I have like no other gear or anything, and it's nice. I actually traded it for the RZ, and you know, I didn't want to spend money on a film camera.
Yeah. What?
yeah. So then I was like, you know what? I'm gonna get a Pentax again one day. It's so iconic. I love it. I don't want to spend money on a new film camera, and I'm fine with one camera. And I had used an RZ before, like once, and I was like, you know what? I need to use this. And the waist level viewfinder and double exposure, it just changes my work completely. I haven't posted that much work on it. I actually did a studio shoot today with it, and just I think about things so differently, and I'm excited to see if that's going to make my work like go up.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah.
Very interesting. I love that.
Yeah, you're talking to two camera files over here. Yeah. Like my mindset is like, well, I'll just save up and get the other, because I don't want to sell this. I'm not going to sell this. You know, like, I'll just sell something else that I don't need versus like
anything
the
else.
Camera. But yeah, I was like, what else can I get rid of? But I like, when we talk about this all the time too, like the burden of that versus like being like, this is my camera, this is my lens, this is my film, this is what you're going to get. There's nothing is clouding your creativity or getting in the way, you know? I wish I could do that.
Well, no, I think that's why like your work is so strong with being so, you know, young, I'd say, into being a photographer like this, you know, because I try to preach this in a lot of our episodes that, you know, stick with one camera, one film stock, one this for at least a year, you know what I mean? Like really, really evolve around those things because it'll do wonders for your photography. You know, when you have 72 cameras and 8 fridges full of film, you're just, there's so many options. You're
so
just
many.
Like, I need this, I need that, I need, and that's, that makes, again, so much sense, like why you are where you are right now, because you're just like, and the fact that you like let your baby go to get another one just to like see how it affects your, I mean, dude, awesome.
Props.
Luckily, the guy I gave it to, he's like a good friend of mine on Twitter. So I'm like, I know you'll take great photos. I know you'll take great Pentax.
So that's one of the great things about the film community is most likely you're going to find somebody you know is going to be like, take care of my baby for me, you know?
Yeah. They were in the same place. They were like, it's so hard for me to let go of this RZ, but I just want to try something new.
Yeah.
And I was like, hey.
Hey.
I always like to, if you're like an avid getting rid of your gear for other gear person, my only little tag to add at the bottom of that is always at the end of the trade or while the trade is happening, be like, hey, if you ever want to get rid of it, let me know first.
Yeah.
I want first dibs.
It's nice because that Pentax actually had a spacing issue. And so I only got 9.5 frames. The last frame, like when I'm out shooting, I would be like, all right, this last frame never comes out. Let me just use it on something. Sometimes I would scan it still just to get something, but now I have like the full 10 frames and it's only one extra frame, but it feels like I have so many more frames.
Yeah.
Especially when you only got 10.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Man, that's a great system though. The RZ, the RB, they're like, That's my baby.
It's nice. Yeah, I love. Also, I've seen photographers do this, so I tried it when they put the RZ or RB above their head, like way up into the air, and they look into it, and that's just it's so many different cool things I could do, or I could just aim it straight down. And with the bellow system, I think being able to focus up close was something I really, really wanted. And I was gonna get like an extension tube or something on the Pentax 105 lens, but then that was more of a reason why I was like, all right, I want the RZ, because it's not about the lens, it's about the body that
Dude, you can get so close with that
system. I was blown away. Like, my shots and stuff like that, I really want to shoot more up close.
Man, I can't wait to see what you do with that.
I know.
I had the studio shoot I had today. I did a lot of close-up portraits there, and the lighting was so good. And of course, I'm probably going to develop and scan them in like an hour or so.
He's like, can we wrap this up? Yeah. I really gotta get to this.
So do you have any, like, what are your like top film stocks?
Ooh.
Speaking of like style and like making choices.
I would say Portra 800 because of the versatility. I love when I meter perfectly, which is something I struggle with. It's just so good.
I
definitely make sure to all client shoots Portra 800. I just feel better. Like, and if it's a client shoot, I could meter at 400 and just make sure that it's exposed perfectly. And then I would say Cinestill 800T. Like, I've never had a shoot I wasn't proud of on 800T. It's just beautiful. I love it, especially for like my out of focus shots where the subject is out of focus and the background is in focus. It's just the colors. It just makes the red and the whatever is bokeh in the background. It's just like, or in the foreground, it just pops.
I wanted to talk to you about that specifically. Thank you for bringing that up, because it's such a like choice, obviously. And I love the intentionality. Whatever. Of like putting your subject out of focus and like focusing on the dramatic background, whatever it may be. Is that like a series that you're working on, or is that just something you do every once in a while? Or
I fell in love with doing that because, again, like, since portraiture is my thing, I'm not as attached to landscape. I take some sometimes and I'm like, oh, that's a cool photo. I took a photo of the street or like, you know, like a mountain or something. And I guess having subject be out of focus was like a nice balance between landscape and portraiture, and it allowed me to like not lean too far into the landscape world, but like, you know, there's a person there, they're just out of focus, and I can kind of mess around with them in like relation to the background and like
smart.
Yeah,
that's really cool. That's a cool artistic take.
It's so cool because I've definitely like seen it around, and then so when I was like looking at your site, I was like, oh, I've seen this, like this is so cool. And it's like one of those things, like, you know, as a series, it's like, you know, if you put them all together, it's like a really cool thing. But I feel like if I had done that by mistake, I'd be like, I ruined it. You know? But I think it's so cool. I love it.
Yeah, it's like second nature to me sometimes. Like, if I'm out in the few situations where I am not on a professional shoot and I just have my camera and I'm taking photos, sometimes I'll be like, say if I went to the Empire State Building, I'm like, this is a nice view. Like, hey, yo, go stand in front of it and let me get you out of focus. I just, it just adds to the photo in a way that I love. Another reason I got into that was because I know you can sell prints, portraits as prints, but I figured no one wants to buy a specific person's face as a print,
right,
you know, maybe
right,
depending on the person, but it allowed me to sell prints because it's like a portrait. I'm doing what I love, but I'm selling this print because you don't see the person. And so it's like a landscape shot, and now it's print worthy, at least in my eyes. So
totally.
I kind of loved selling photos in that way.
Smart. Very smart.
And you're somebody that's in like with Emily and the...
NFT.
Thank you. I always mess it up. I always say NTF. I don't know why. Is that something you just got into, or can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, a few months ago I got into it. It was like going crazy on Twitter, and I was like, okay, like
it's going crazy on Twitter. Yeah,
sometimes a little too much. I'm not gonna lie. Like sometimes I want to join a space or like and talk about just photography, and it'll go there. But I gotta say, I'm not as like into it. Like I'm definitely in it. I release collections I've sold on there, but I don't think I could see myself like having that. You know, I would say I'm a photographer that sells NFTs. I'm not an NFT artist at all. I feel like that's the best way to explain it. Like, you know, I throw some up there. I'll collect people's work if I could, but I definitely, I don't know. I don't, it's not anywhere on the top list of things that I like, you know, like care about most when it comes to art. her photography.
So what are the I mean, if you don't mind me asking, mm-hmm. like, what is the profits of something like that? Because I know, Chris, you're kind of like totally not in your sights with this stuff.
No,
I'm very interested in it. And I think it's like, it's so cool. I was just talking about this with my stepdad today, where I was like, with the podcast, like, we should do a 60-second clip of the Jeff Bridges episode and mint it as an NFT. And, you know, collectors of Jeff Bridges or fans of our podcast could buy that. Because I know NFTs, like, if somebody buys your NFT and then they sell it, you still get a kickback of, like, there's just some really cool, like, longevity things. And you can implement real art, like prints and stuff with it. Like, what, I mean, has it been a profitable thing for you? Or is it just kind of like, you know, you're just kind of dipping your toes in it to see what happens type of thing? Or
I actually thought that I wouldn't succeed in there because I didn't, it's not that I don't care. Like, obviously, I'm so, like, I love, like, talking about it. I love, like, you know, like, being involved in a community, but there's so mm-hmm. much that I don't know. And I would say that, like, I'm not gonna lie, I kind of just list something. Like, I have a photo, I'll put it up there, I'll, whatever the photo makes me feel, I'll put it out onto the words or whatever. Yeah, it's been profitable. I would say, like, I've sold 2 collections on there, which is insane.
Because
I'm actually, you know, I guess in a way, I would want to be like inspiration for someone who doesn't know a lot about it, because there are, you know, there's always people who are saying you can't do this because you don't know this about that. And, like, there's a lot I don't know about photography, like, a lot. Like I said, I really do search up sometimes, like, what does aperture really mean? And, with the NFT thing, for example, I don't know a lot. So it's nice to, like, be able to sell. And, you know, I'm obviously learning. I don't want to be, like, I'm just here for the money. Like, I love learning new things, but I kind of like to just throw myself out there with it and then learn as I go. So I've been doing that, and it's been going pretty well. Like, it's just really about, like, I guess how passionate you are about it and how that, like, carries through to other people if they can see how passionate you are and you're not just like, oh, throwing this up here and then
Now, do you do any, like, is it all digital for you, or do you do like a real print with your NFT type thing? Is there any sort of tangible to it, or is it all just online?
Recently I started saying, like, if a piece is selling for a lot, like 1 ETH or 0.5 ETH, I would say, like, hey, collector gets access to my photo books when I make them. They get a metal print, like 11 by 14, maybe.
Wow.
And, you know, I try to include more benefits, I guess, to it, because that's something I learned, that, like, a lot of the NFTs that people buy or collect, they want benefits from them. And they are collecting from the artists, but they want to have, like, you know, they want it to last long. So I try, at least recently, I've been trying to, like, have some sort of, like, longevity in, like, their collection for me. And so, yeah, like a metal print, access to a photo book, or, you know, anything. I'm still making it up as I go, but yeah.
There's so much. There's just so much to learn on the whole thing.
Yeah, so much. It's overwhelming at times. It's like, you know, I am learning, but I'm also like I said, I'm trying to focus more on, like, the actual photography and stuff like that. And then, you know, the NFTs. Mm-hmm. NFTs are a background thing. Like, I'm a photographer, and then, you know, I sell NFTs. And if someone collects, great. But if not, that's okay.
How's print sales for you? Do you sell a lot of prints?
Yeah, I started selling more after I moved from Darkroom, because a lot of people were saying, like, complaining about the profits or whatever. So I moved to a drop shipping method where they would buy the print and then I would use a third party service to ship it to them. And yeah, I would say I started photography full time like 7 months ago, and that's
wow! Congrats,
been,
congrats!
Thank you. It's weird because, like, looking back at it, I don't know how I survived this long, but I get it done. So yeah, print sales have been great when I needed them too. When rent is due, I happen to make a few.
So, yeah.
It's just kind of like, you know, I sell a few when it's needed.
Man, I love prints, books, all that stuff. It's just such a, I don't know, I just pride my collection of other artists' stuff.
Yeah.
Like, there's something that it's like, I don't like put gloves on to flip through books or anything like that, but there's just something so, I don't know the word that I'm looking for, but there's just something about, you know, holding somebody else's work that they put so much time and effort into, you know what I mean? Like, just being so proud.
Yeah, I'm like really excited for my photo book. I'm still figuring out how I'm going to make it, but I'm currently just in the creating it stage, so I'm not worrying about the manufacturer. And I'm planning on having like a few concepts that are like exclusive to the book, and then some that people already seen. But I can't wait to get more tangible art out. I would say
definitely that's another goal for next year for me too. Is I used to do like a like a art crawl kind of first Friday thing. And there was nothing better than like framing and doing all mm-hmm. that pre-stuffed and then hanging it and then people coming in and talking to you about it. There's just, it's not about selling it or anything like that. You know, it's just about showing and being proud, being a proud dad of all your little baby photos.
Yes. Yes.
So is this going to be your first book, first printed? Have you done any zines?
I haven't done anything at all. Wow, so I'm excited for this one. Yeah. I'm like really, really excited on it. I guess, like I said, going back to like digital, I'm not that great at like technical or editing. So it's a process. So I'm trying to like take my time on it. You know, I don't want to be too hard on myself. So like, I wouldn't be surprised if it came out looking like, not basic, that's not the word, but like, you know, it's just my photos, some like maybe some written parts of it, but I'm not going to go like too crazy on like the design and everything. Cause I do want to like, I want to put it out, but I don't want to be too much of a perfectionist with it.
Yeah. That's hard. That's the hard part.
The killer. Yep. Yep.
Yeah.
We have to definitely keep us posted
on
that.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, yeah, please. Yeah. Can't wait.
Definitely.
And you need to make a YouTube video about it too. You need to get the behind the scenes of that. We'd love to watch that.
I can't wait to get better at like filming the right things. Like it's so much. Like video, honestly, when I was little, I would like open up two tabs on my computer, both YouTube, and I would play a song and then a movie trailer on the other. And I would mute the original trailer and then put another song over it. And I would go into my mom's room and be like, Ma, look what I made. And it's like or a video game. It's like a Call of Duty trailer with another song over it. And I just love like video editing and all that stuff. But now I'm getting into actually recording video and like getting the right footage and like having a checklist. So I definitely want to like do more of that. I gotta get better at that.
Man, you'll get it all figured out. I mean, it'll come. The only thing that my only advice to you on video wise is like, keep your camera right in front of you. Mm-hmm. Just keep it there. Record stuff that you probably will never use.
Yeah.
You know, because in like 2 years from now, you'll be like, man, I thought I had a clip of me doing this. And then you can go back and it's in your archives. Like, record everything.
Yeah.
And then once you start getting a grasp on it, you'll know when to pull your camera out. You know what I mean? You'll be like, oh, man, I should be recording this. Hold on one sec.
Yeah.
You know, like, grab your... It'll come to you.
Yeah, I use my phone to record. And so I actually like that because it's always on me.
Yeah.
Yeah, as soon as I switched to film, I sold my digital, and so I haven't had a digital camera in so long. But I'm definitely early next year, I'm going to get into like I'm going to probably get a Sony or something.
Yeah, they're the best when it comes to, you know, popping out video.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I mean, your phone, they you know, the never-ending quote of, you know, the best camera for the job is the one that you have on you. And I mean, these smartphones are insane these days. I mean, you can shoot 4K slow-mo on your phone.
Yeah.
I mean, come on. We'll be right back with listener question for Eli right after this message from our sponsor.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Hey guys, just wanted to hop in real quick and let you guys know about our Patreon-only Develop and Hang Nights. We've done a bunch already. We laugh, we develop some film, we have some fun, we talk shop. Just an all-around good time. If that sounds like something you're interested in, head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. Patreon is the best way to support the show. Thanks, guys. All right, guys, this is a part of the show where we break off and take a question from one of our listeners. And this week's question comes from Isabel Tinsley. And they wanted to know, well, they said, ask him about how we got to shoot Cinestill in a record store. And in parentheses, it says, really cool owner, heart.
Sounds like a good story.
Yeah.
It was definitely, that was a fun night. A lot of my shoots, honestly, I don't go in with a concept in mind. I'm kind of just like, let's take photos. I want to take photos. I love the way it makes me feel. And so we were just going to do a night shoot outside in Manhattan We were just going to go find neon signs and take photos. And then we found this record store and we were taking some outside and the owner came out and he was like, if you guys want to go in, like, go ahead. That's fine. And I had Cinesco loaded and we went inside. It was like empty. We made like BTS videos for it. And it was just like, yeah, this is the concept now. It came to me. Like, that's honestly how a lot of my shoots are. The concept comes to me in the moment. And so, yeah, it was like, it was a very cool owner. And we like walked all around the store shooting photos and stuff. And it was awesome. And the fact that it was on Cinesil 800T was like perfect. Because that was the stock
I was
for
like
it.
Built for that moment. Yeah. That sounds like something you would be using Cinesil for. Man, great. That's
I love that. And I'm like thinking back on like when I did bands and stuff, it was always, I never had a concept either. It was always like, let's see what happens.
Yeah.
And a lot of like the best work comes out of that sometimes. But, it, yeah. you know, sometimes you're like, all right, let's go drive around. You're like, I don't see anything. It's just like a boring field. Yeah. I don't know. But like when you hit the jackpot like that, it's like, woo, nothing better.
Yeah. That's definitely something I like struggled with. Cause like a lot of my photos, I maybe come up with the meaning afterwards. So I was like, am I even a photographer? Because like all these photographers are like, this photo was just so deep to me. And like, you know, and it's like, I just kind of take photos and they look nice and I love them. And I love the way they make me feel. And that's sometimes the end of it for that photo. Not all, but some.
What you said there, the way they make me feel is the most important part.
Right.
It doesn't matter about aperture or the camera or the anything. Like, it is all about the way it makes you feel.
Yeah.
Like, that's literally, I mean, to me, I don't know about anyone else, but that's like, that's a gold medal right there if it makes me feel good.
Yeah, for sure.
And I kind of love that you don't have like the concept in mind beforehand because you don't get in your head about it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've had situations where it's like the concept turned into something completely different once we were done, you know?
Yeah, for sure. Man. Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely nice to kind of like wing it, I would say. And
concepts
like kind of sometimes make me more stressed out because I'm like, yeah, like what if I don't hit it like accurately? Yeah. And
or you see it in your head and you can't get it out the way you want. And then that sucks. That's another thing.
It's always hard because like sometimes when I collab with models, they would be like, so what's the concept? Give me a board. And I'm just like, oh, like, trust me, I trust you with an outfit more than I trust me like picking the outfit for the shoot. So just, you know, like maybe you can, I can pick from options, but a lot of my shoots, I just kind of like, you know, like, let me just shoot you. And, you know, like, I don't really, you know, unless it's like a specific time period that I want to capture, then I'll be like, just wear whatever.
Right.
And then, definitely.
I like that too, because a lot of the times I'll think, well, if I don't have a concept, I can't waste somebody's time.
Mm-hmm.
But if you already, if you know, like, this is how I do it, let's just go take photos. And that's the fun part anyway, you know?
Yeah, yeah. And it's like, you know, most of the time I would hope, I know it's not always like the case, but that they kind of just like want to make the connection.
Yeah.
Let's be friends or whatever. You know, most of the time it's not, but I like that because then we kind of put that more of a priority rather than the photos. And then I'm just kind of like, let's just have fun.
Nailed it.
Yeah. And then, you know, making the person, the subject comfortable, you know, when you're like, let's just go chill and like take photos. It's like, okay. Versus like, oh, we're going to be on set this time and we're going to do this. And it's like,
And I feel like I know that's going to be coming eventually. I don't know if it's part of growth as a photographer, but like, I mean, I'm pretty sure it is like where I'm going to have these like staged setups. So I know I have to do that eventually, but I'm just like, for now, I definitely enjoy winging it.
Yeah. And I think when you get to that point of where it's like a conceptual shoot, you'll be at that point where it's going to make sense. You know what I mean? Like where you're going to, and even if not, you have the tool of just winging it. You know what I mean?
Because
that's an important tool to have too. Cause I'm sure there's people out there on the flip side of that, that are like, they need a parameter, like a box that they need to stay in or they can't accomplish what they're doing.
Right.
And you have that spirit of just going out and doing it, you know, which is, I mean, to make something out of nothing, to make something out of like a no idea is so special. Like I feel like that's kind of, again, like how I roll with things. I'm like, let's meet at this house. I was there one time. It's kind of cool. Like, let's see if we can make something work. And then magic happens.
Yeah.
You know? So it's a good, it's not a trait. It's like a tool or something to have. You know? Yeah.
Definitely.
I will say, Eli, you've inspired me to get out of my own way because I've been in my own way about stuff. You know, I'm like, I have these like people that in my head that every day I'm like, okay, today's the day I'm going to send them a message. And I'm going to say, let's go take photos. And then I don't because I'm like, well, you know, I'm going to have to like figure out a location and figure out this and that. And like, oh, I'm overwhelmed.
Yeah.
But I like, you're really making me want to just like, just do it. And so thank you.
Just do it.
It's fun. Yeah. Sometimes I'm just like, I don't have a location in mind, but like, let's just meet here. And like, I stopped meeting at like big locations like Central Park or sometimes I'll be like, let's meet on the street and just walk around and talk. And it's been nice to do that. Cause then I find like those like very few nice spots that you can only walk past. It's not like at some like big location.
Especially in a place like New York. I'm sure there's tons of nooks and crannies that you can be like, didn't know this was here.
Yes.
I would love
especially that. In Brooklyn. That's why I love Brooklyn so much. Manhattan, I shoot there, like, you know, sometimes. Most clients prefer Manhattan for that New York look, but I definitely prefer Brooklyn.
Amazing.
Man, good answer.
Yeah. So we went off on a little tangent there, but.
Yeah. All right. So we might actually know the answer to this question.
Yeah.
This is, it's a two-part camera question we ask every guest. The first part of the camera question is the desert island camera. Is there one camera you cannot live without? What is it and why?
Well, I know I'm saying this having just traded it, but the Pentax 67 for sure. Because again, the RZ is just experimental, but Pentax is just so iconic. A lot of people are like, Eli, you did what? It was just so iconic to like my photos, the colors, the way it looked, everything, the process about it. And so that's definitely like, I still put that way over the RZ. And like in general, just as not that it's like I'm comparing them, but like just definitely the Pentax would be like my number one.
Dude, yeah. Good answer though. I
love that you're saying that knowing that you don't have it anymore.
Yeah. It's like, the wooden handle and just, I think I'm going to get a right hand grip for the RZ so I can feel more familiar. But the wooden handle, especially just, and then the left hand grip that was 3D printed, it felt nice. Mm-hmm. But I'm hoping when I do get one eventually, it has full 10 frames and maybe it's like a newer model even. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it. Like, I know I'll be reunited with a Pentax. So I'm kind of just messing around and experimenting.
Love that.
Yeah. Well, then part two of the camera question is the white whale. Is there anything that you've always wanted to try that you haven't had a chance to shoot? Like a camera that you're lusting after that you're just sitting there like biting all your nails off thinking about it? Like, I need it.
I think it would still have to be the Mamiya 7, I would say. Like, and I know I'm not a fan of rangefinders, but the way I see people take landscapes on it has me interested in shooting portraits on it. I don't see that many portraits on it. And so just that quality and like, I don't know, I guess maybe it's more of a landscape camera because of the rangefinder part of it. But I just definitely would want to do portraits in my style on a camera like that.
Yeah, would love to see that.
Yeah, totally. Same. Those are great answers.
Yeah, for sure.
Eli, this has been a fantastic conversation. Like I said, I feel like we could just keep going here, but where can everybody check out your work and you and all that? Instagram, website, what is it?
Most of my socials, Instagram, Twitter, it's all Eli Vix with an N at the end for my middle name because Eli Vix itself is taken by an inactive account.
I hate that. It's always an inactive. Why?
Yeah, so I was like, let me just add my middle name and issue. Definitely. On YouTube, it's just Eli Vix. I'm able to get that at least.
Nice.
But yeah, it's either Eli Vix or Eli Vix with an N at the end.
Awesome. Timothy, where are you?
Guys, you can head over to Instagram and Twitter. It's at Timothy Makeups. I also have some YouTube videos over there. Easiest way to find those is go to the search bar. Just type in Timothy Makeups. There's a bunch of stuff there. That's it for me. Chris, where are you?
So I am Chris B. Photo on Instagram, Twitter, and YouTube. We are Analog Talk Pod on Twitter, Analog Talk Podcast on Instagram. And we have a Facebook page you can like and a group you can join and share photos and talk to each other and all that. Eli, thank you again. This is hopefully we'll cross paths. Next time I'm home, if you're around in Connecticut, we should link up, do some photos.
That would be awesome.
I would love that. Go bother Emily at her studio.
Oh my god, I'm always so down to visit to bother Emily. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thanks for listening, guys, and we'll see you in the next one.
Bye. All right, that's going to be it for this week's episode. Eli, thank you so much for joining us. Very inspirational, fun story. Reminded me so much of when I first got into photography and it just the passion and excitement and all that fun stuff. Good times. Thanks for joining us. Chris and I greatly appreciate it. Guys, that's going to take us to Patreon. Head over to patreon.com/analogtalk. For only $1, you can get the show 2 days early. That's on Mondays. We release on Wednesday. We also have our develop and hang nights. We're going to be doing a bunch of other stuff rolling out in the new year. Patreon is the best way to help support the show. For all the Patreons that support the show already, guys, we do not know what we would do without you. We appreciate each and every single one of you. That's going to be it. Thanks for joining us. Thanks for listening. If you made it this far, we hope you have a great week. We hope you're out there shooting and having fun. And until next week, we'll see you soon, guys. Later.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio. If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.